some notes.
This note.
The buyer of those notes here. Frankie comes up to me today and says, look, I made some notes during the game. Literally, he has keynote on his notes app on his iPhone. I'm not even kidding. Like, in the middle of Rams and Lions, the drama of the game, Banky is like, So that's good. I was proud of myself, and then I forgot I was doing it as I was watching the game.
The first two notes.
Yeah, I was trying to get the people around me up for defense because, you know, Lambo.
Yeah.
You know. And finally, the final PPE, Corey Banky dropping it already early on, chewing up a whole reserve. But Kevin King most likely will not play on Sunday, which is really upset. Mike McCarthy saying he doesn't have any long-term concerns, but will fully expect to play on Sunday. And after Navon House's performance against the Vikings, yeah, that is concerning. It is concerning. You know, it's like deja vu, right? A little bit. It's like deja vu, a little bit. I will say, that fourth quarter collapse, we got rid of Don Capers because of those, and there was another one. You wonder. I mean, the Navon House thing really, that was rough.
They never really showed up the secondary, right? Like,
no, they did. Not, they, okay, here's the
not
issue.
Not real.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing. The talent level has improved. You cannot deny it. We talked about it in the summer. We talked about it week one. The overall, the talent level increased 20% or has increased 30%?
I would say a lot of percent. I would say it's like somewhere in like 15%.
Then what's the point? To me, the point is, moving on, as I said all offseason and all training camp, moving on from players like Navon House, who have shown repeatedly that they cannot be counted on to be consistent performers. If the goal is to field a championship defense, as Mike McCarthy keeps telling us that's the goal, you cannot do things like trade away a Lindsey Dixon, who's shown immense promise, yet he's inconsistent. Like, he's young. He's grown. He's shown talent. He's shown ability in favor of holding on to Navon House, who has let you down time and time and time again, and did so yet again on Sunday afternoon.
Well, yeah, he did.
And look, I'm going to lay Central Bright to you in the top 10 standouts. But let's not split hairs here. Navon House had terrible coverage through the game.
Yes, he did. But, you know, the Kento Bright play where he's trying to not hit anyone.
Oh,
like,
that was very
okay.
He wasn't very good.
So, okay, up until this year,
right,
when you're like, hey, I want to play football. I have a team in football. It's really tough. I've kind of been like, you know what? You got to make the game safer, all this stuff, right? But, like, that play, like, take Ruffin the passer, right?
We'll talk about that later.
Take Mike Daniels. Sack.
We'll definitely talk about that.
I think it's been a sack.
Yep.
And then take that Kento Bright play. Like, that is the... Those three plays are where we are in the NFL right now.
Yep. We're not allowed to make plays. Like, we're going to talk about this.
No, but the Kento Bright play especially, because I don't understand how he doesn't... Like, play the ball.
Yes, play the ball. 1,000,000%. It's your ball. Go get it. Go get the ball.
And the thing that's so maddening about it is there are two distinct angles that Fox has of that play that show tracking the football.
Yeah.
As soon as he touches hands, he's tracking the football.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, when two
every dribble
is much like enough football as anyone else in that. When two baseball outfielders, right,
they're going for the ball,
sometimes they hit each other. you think you just sold one, what's amazing about, I'm not trying to harp on DeMonte with that, and the one thing where that drop stopped that drop, right? And that's all it takes. Like, that's the thing. You know, I've been seeing some people on Twitter talking about, you know, Jordy Nelson. This was my gripe last year about Jordy Nelson, was like, everybody's like, oh, it's a couple drops. It's like, no. Three drops in a game, that's three drives dead. The second thing I want to say, just because he can drop, The win against the Bears is mind-blowing, but some of the things he did in the game last week were pretty amazing. He's really, I think he's the most underrated player of all time.
And then, I'm going in, oh, it's news today, that we didn't touch on news, but it did happen earlier this afternoon, after I looked at this. Aaron Jones is activated officially. And of course, all of fantasy Twitter, with all of them I mentioned, is wondering how much he's going to play. Obviously, he's their most talented running back of all.
Truly.
Talent with the ball in his hands, no question. However, obviously, in this offense, especially with Aaron Rodgers playing in J.C. Legg, Jamal Williams is not going anywhere. I don't know. I was ready to. I had somebody, some of them I mentioned, was like, do you believe McCarthy? Or not, do you believe, but what do you think about McCarthy saying that, you know, Williams and Montgomery are going to be, you know, continue in the roles that they have, and Jones is going to be kind of supplementing them. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what anybody expected. I think there's no doubt Jones is an electric talent. You just can't look at what Jamal Williams has done in pass protection and tell me you don't want him out there.
Well, right now, what do you think the ranking is on touchdowns for the three of them?
Oh, it's Jamal Williams. He's by him.
Ty Montgomery has gotten better.
Ty's gotten better, but
yeah, but I think Aaron Jones has gotten better.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think whoever wins...
Aaron Jones is a stud.
To your point, it's two things. It's who's the most electric and who wins that battle the best.
Who can protect Aaron with the most lobsters, and who can get on the same page with Aaron?
Who is the true truth truth to make sure that if he does not activate himself, or if something breaks here, and you've got to have one guy in there to make sure that dude doesn't get into Aaron.
Yeah, I think Jamal Williams does.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah. Zero question. Now, I get it. Like, Aaron Jones is electric. He's absolute fire with the ball. And I want to see just as much as everybody else. But he has to prove it on the field in the sense that if it turns silly and Rodgers, and there's a run call or there's, you know, whatever call, and Rodgers adjusts and he changes the protection or Lindsay changes the protection, they got to be able to know 100% lock solid that Jones is going to be where he's supposed to be, and he's going to be able to, he's not going to be overwhelmed by a blitzing linebacker. Like, that all has to be like, he's got to prove it all over again.
Yeah, and I know he looked good down the stretch last year, but that was last year. He was, you know, 2018, here we go, we're going 0-1, you got to get on board. The train's already left the station, and you got to jump on board and go, you know?
People want to, like, pretend like this is Madden, like you can just insert him in the lineup and go.
Yeah,
don't work like that.
No.
Does not work like that.
Nope.
And finally, on the offensive tip, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Justin McCray, because I thought he caught an unnecessary amount of grief for the way he started the Bears game, two penalties. People were just dogging this guy, like, left and right. And then actually played pretty well in the second half, and no one talked about it. And I thought he had a pretty good game. There's clearly times where he was overmatched.
Yeah.
Vikings, they have an amazing front.
Yeah.
But, yo, for a kid that, you know, basically was a hotel worker 2.5 years ago and is now a starting guard in the NFL and playing at a high level against the best probably defensive front in the game against in Minnesota, the Vikings, I thought he played a hell of a game.
Or where do the Redskins defensive front rank?
Well, they're good.
They have the number one defense, right?
The number one passer.
Whoa. Oh, but you don't
I think they have a good front, but it's not the Vikings' front.
Wait, what about team rankings, though?
Oh, you mean power rankings? Yeah, I want to know ranks about that. I had Packers Daily yesterday.
Power rankings have always been funny. Power rankings are funny in the same way that every single person who wants to be a reporter wants to be a beat writer. In the funny way. Here's the thing. There was a time when power rankings were worth it. It was when only one man did them, and that was Paul Zimmer,
uh-huh.
Dr. Z, Sports Illustrated. can't believe it, but I can't believe
you.
I can't believe you put Packers number one at anything. I'm so surprised.
Oh, like a coveted draft.
No.
I'm like, wow.
Let's get to the game.
Okay.
All right.
Here's a question. Here's a quandary. Here's a preponderance of the evidence that I have before me. How the hell does anyone play defense in the NFL these days? How? How do you do it? How do you do it as a safety position? How do you do it as a pass rusher? How do you do it as someone who's just trying to make a tackle, to make a living, to put some bread on the table for your kids? How do you play defense in the NFL today? Huh? You want points. You want people scoring. You don't want anyone getting hurt or breaking points. Oh, my God, he's wearing chainmail. How do you play defense in the NFL today? If this is what they want, just give them 12. Give the quarterback, it's going to happen. Give him 12. It's going to happen. They're going to put a red shirt on him. Red gloves. Have young Mahomes with that color there. People coming up in my mentions talking about player safety. What the hell is that? Are you kidding me? A player safety? The player that I did on Kirk Cousins was a player safety issue? My daughter has tackled me harder than that. Give me a break.
Well, and the doubling down, it's like, you know, it's almost like, it's like the rules would make more sense if Skip Bayless was in charge of everything. You have more consent than everyone.
Consistency.
That's the scary part. That's the scary part. And it's really scary when people like, you know, reasonable minds like Jason Robys and Rod Demarcus of the world are like, hey, asking the NFL, what about this? What about this? And then they're going to, it's almost mind-blowing to think that they're going to send that video of Clay Matthews.
That is fair.
And they're going to go, do that. That is a penalty. And if you do that, it's a penalty. Don't do that.
I'm just living.
And then I pointed this out on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'll say it here. This, you know, the NFL sends the officials to every single game. They send a group of officials, a crew, to every single practice. And in Green Bay this summer, I was there for the presentation, and you get to ask questions. And, of course, at the time, it was all about the helmet questions. And I was probably big because that afternoon it had broke that in Minnesota, they had talked about how what Anthony Barr did last year to Aaron Rodgers would be a penalty this year. Because he put his full weight on the quarterback, which is not what Clay Matthews did. And then Terry McCauley said afterwards that wasn't the rule that he was citing. It was the scoop and pull. He scooped him up and drove him into the ground.
Which, A, which he didn't.
Is not on the video.
Yeah.
Like, unless you have some CGI that I don't know about, that's not on the video. But, okay, so the NFL, then, when you're talking about doubling down, came out and said, yeah, we're sending that video as a what-not-to-do tape because it features a scoop and pull. A, scoop and pull isn't on there. That's not what Matthews did at all. But, B, literally officials talked to us this summer. They stressed the importance of the full body weight issue, like Barr did,
yep,
which caused the injury. Never once did they mention scoop and pull, or even even close to it being illegal, which only goes to prove even further, as if any evidence was needed, that the NFL is making this
oh, yeah,
as they go along.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
And you know what? It's going to get worse because you realize that centralization has now been a thing, right?
Yeah.
So centralization of the refuge first in New York. So I think you're actually going to get more inconsistency, right? Because over time, what they're going to do is they're going to take away the power of the game from the referee on the field
and
put it in the hands of a remote god. That's New York, right?
Elvin Brown.
Yep.
Irvin
that
Brown.
Remote god.
Right.
And now you're getting even closer to collegiate sports betting type kind of stuff. Because what is the game, right? It's like literally the only thing the NFL can't control is an interception or a sack.
Yep.
And the only way to control that is to have the rules be completely confusing, right?
Yep.
But now, you know, I know I hate this because people are going to say I'm a homer, and I am a homer, and this show is about being said all over.
Yeah.
I know they're going to say that, but I don't know, you know, Miles Gallman is my goal.
Oh, wait.
I love Will.
flying under on this. The full Welcome to Bathroom BS is insane, Shane. Because there's been a lot of, like, new roles, new age bands, like, all of it changing. Getting better. Again, this nonsense about player safety. Look, two things. Number one, no player, not a single man in the NFL, has signed up for this league with any, like, ideas and or illusions about what they're doing out there. 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, guys, you could have been in the dark, yeah, about the possible long-term ramifications of playing football. There is not a human man on the earth playing in the NFL who doesn't know, yes, there are possible major health implications for me down the road. Everybody knows this. So stop with the, oh, we've got to make it safe. Bring back as many of the safe as possible for Kirk Cousins on that play.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, if you're gonna make guys like just unable to play defense, just get, rip the Band-Aid off. Don't give me this TCL. That's what it is. Don't give me this TCL. Oh, yeah. Then you're going to get, and every offseason, we have another, yeah, we need a revision or emphasis. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Get rid of the kickoff. Give the quarterback flag. Let's do it. Because this whole sort of edging towards it is just stupid and insults everyone involved.
Well, I will say, to be not to, I agree with all that, but to be the counterpoint, typically the quarterback is literally worth 100,000 times more than every other player on the team. 100%. 100%. And it, you know, I hate to bring it back to money, but it's the NFL, so it's going to be about money. This is even a fact better than the safety thing. And I don't want to talk about that.
Good thing. You guys are on script. I was going to say, you guys are better at following a script than Corey is. That's impressive. So,
simple play. We mentioned the play earlier. Clearly had a step back against the Vikings compared it to the Bears game where, you know, like Harvey said, he was the highest rated safety and the highest rated defensive player in that game. That's a misstep. The ball into Diggs. He saw the throw. Got to get over there for that. Why he's going after Treadwell on that play, I'll never know. But okay. And then people want to trade for Earl Thomas to get the Seahawks at 0-2. I don't see the Packers doing that because they're never going to have to give Thomas a huge contract. I don't think he affects the game the way Khalil Mack does, which they were clearly willing to do. Sign Eric Reid. I know they're never going to sign Eric
never
Reid.
Never happens.
Just sign Eric Reid. You can't tell me you're all about winning and then, you know, watch the suboptimal play from the safety position. Here's the thing. If Eric Reid comes in, he's not even taking Rice's spot or Ha-Ha's spot. He's taking Leatherhead's spot.
Yeah.
You need to draft for a storm at this point, and you're upgrading the talent at the position. The overall talent level goes up. He's a better player than Josh Jones. There's zero doubt about that. He's a better player than anybody that they have currently. But I thought the idea was to win and be the best. And Eric Reid instantly improves your football team.
But they won't do it for political reasons. But
well, what's funny is all they're doing is making a case for Kaepernick. By no team signing Reed, though, it helps Kaepernick. It helps both of them, right? Because you could make an argument that Kaepernick is not taking them. I don't know how you could, but I feel like you could somewhat make an argument that, like, you know, he's maybe not a starting quarterback anymore. I don't know how you could, but he had some down play. Like, it wasn't like he won a Super Bowl and then he upgraded Cliff. But yeah, Eric Reid, that's hard. That's all day hard. It's ridiculous. Finally, I wanted to touch on special teams. Oh my God.
Real quick, just for you, Corey, Nike.
Oh, JJ Scott.
Oh my God.
JJ Scott.
Weapon.
Real weapon. He had a 60-something total return
in the first quarter.
That's pretty impressive.
It was. It was impressive, and then he gained some drops. But here's what's impressive.
For the first time in probably our history, we turned field position over from behind the 20. That was crazy. We are turning into the first. We have a streak right now, and I don't know if Rita's going to challenge the streak right now because we have a tie, so we might never. The thing about Rita is,
this is not rear.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny enough. He might buy never. The thing, so now we have to go to games together at home because we've won. Although I don't want to, you know, we win the first one, so then we win again. We weren't
learn to learn enough. So then, I don't know how he feels about the first 5 minutes after kissing Rosie. We haven't really had a talk about it because we were both kind of like, let's start the bonfire. So if we go to see, so he actually likes her, but Chris, he's really funny to begin with because it's almost like he's like a play-by-play. Watch him or him at your house.
Oh my god, they're both
Jesus!
Like you and I, when we're watching together, we'll like say the same things that we think the other one's not thinking. But we'll see because we might be doing a live we might be doing a live stream with you guys.
I was gonna say that, but yeah,
we might be doing a for those of you watching or listening at home. You could geek out with Aaron and Corey on Sunday watching this.
Yeah, you can see how we watch the game.
We're gonna watch the game and we're gonna broadcast us watching it.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll try it. Fine, but he's like, dude, he is like a play-by-play machine. Like, you don't say anything. Like, I think I said two things besides like yelling on defense. I think I actually said two things though, because he's got all the nuggets.
I love
got like the radio in his ear. He's got the old radio that you can't buy anymore. He's got in his ear. It's got tape on it. It's all scratch tape because it's all broken because it's like 8 years old. And he's like, he'll say stuff because like Larry Hoover is like, I'll fix it. Because Ray Larry, he'll be like, he's out. Oh, he's out. And then I'll like check Twitter. It's like, dude, we're like the machine, dude. We're like in this thing.
I just remember we watched the Monday night game against the Chiefs back in New York, and we were just like,
they couldn't do that on third down because their guy got hurt. But they've done this like 3 times before this season. They're gonna do this.
Like we were all excited about it. I love it.
So I just want to say,
going into his shot, he said he took a sip. Now here's the thing about JJ's shot.
Okay. After that, what'd he do?
He took it a lot. He took it well.
He averaged like over 100 yards in this game.
I don't know what that is, but I just
he averaged over 100 yards. He was awesome.
Oh, and what did he do? He followed Todd Gurley.
I talked in the belt session.
100%.
Okay, what did he do though? Why couldn't Crosby kick it in the end zone? Vikings were kicking it in the end zone all day. Is that a choice or is for the most part? Okay, what's a dumb choice?
Absolutely kicking it.
Okay, whoever's making that choice.
That would be Ron Zook.
Yeah, Ron Zook. Stop, please. Stop. It was so funny. It was bad. They have a great block for a touchdown and a punt, and like everyone, and the television's like, Ron Zook special team is really coming through.
And then literally the very next play, they kick the kickoff and the Vikings get a great return, and Zook goes on the sideline. We're starting to say he's real in trouble here.
Like, in today's NFL, I feel like you're overthinking it if you're not kicking it right in the end zone.
Right in the end zone.
Dude, just do it. Hey, literally, J.J. Scott kicked the kickoffs all summer long. That's not true. You should know if you can do it. You're Sidney Crosby's running for the Super Bowl. Like, scratch that. Kick it out of the end zone. Try to start at the 25. Like, this is not tough. Yeah, I don't understand. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I don't like to question play calling, but, like, really? The Vikings are kicking it in the end zone, and they're winning. You're kicking it not in the end zone, and they're getting it past the 20. Probably shouldn't do that.
Okay, let's talk real quick about this matchup for the team in Washington.
Because we didn't even talk about this last time.
I know. That's why I'm at it. Because, like I said, we have some content issues.
I love how we've done this show for like 13 years.
Yeah, we're like still learning how to write this show.
Well, it's just like we were in a remote. Like, we were just geek. We were scared.
We were scared it wouldn't work for anything.
Yeah, it wasn't scary, but it didn't do anything. Like, I didn't like it either.
Other than it's still,
dude, 6 months to be at Lamb, though.
I know, right? I told you, you're sick.
I was fun, though. It threw me off my game.
Well,
the next time we do it, though, now I'll know, you know.
Got it.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's fun. I think it'd be fun to get a player to watch him against Washington.
Hoping like Brandon Cobb.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be awesome for a player to just walk in the gate and like tackle me and take my headset and then just start talking to you. Like just like
everybody would be like the Packer.
Everybody would be like, yeah. So it'd be like roughing the passer. They could just push me aside and then just start talking to me. That would be brilliant. If they could happen every day, I would take Brady for that.
The Packers are favored by 3 points on the road against the team from Washington. I found that interesting. I also found it interesting that their home opener last week, they had an 80,000-seat stadium, and they had about a little over 60,000.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And for the most part, it was booed off the field. So you know
that on
Sunday, there are going to be so many Packer fans there. And it is going to be, I'll bet, my guess right now is it'll be, not quite 50-50, but it'll be 60-40.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be 40% Packer fans. I can see that.
That will happen.
Speaking of, there was a lot of purple at that game.
Oh, yes, there was.
And yeah. I had a number of people with the Packers texting me, so what do you think that's about?
Why
is Why are fans in the Packers DMing? Why are they DMing you all the time? This is like sources when I was on the beat. Go ahead, sources.
Holy crap, they're all real reporters.
Look, and here's the thing. Okay, if the Mihajkowicz, the Mike Mignogna, Mihajkowicz tweets this thing like, the fans are doing go bad go when we're on offense. Yeah, because people are going like this. Okay, so you see, like, response. 10,000 people are doing that, right?
Yeah.
You tell me, okay? What's worse? A bunch of people not in rhythm doing this, okay? Or
right.
You call and respond. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, right? You're not a great quarterback.
Green Bay Packers!
Yeah. You're doing this,
right?
okay.
I'll do this.
But I really want to hear it.
Thank you. You're just a stud, my McCarthy Golden Boy.
Yeah, because no matter what, we're getting him.
Alright, it's that time. It's that time, Banky. It is that time. You know it.
I do it.
Let's do it.
My favorite part is the bass that comes in.
I just want to give a shout out. You know who we do? Either we are taking people to task or we're giving them a shout out. I want to give a shout out to the OG.
The OG.
The originator. I mean, I'm sure maybe one or two people were doing it before these guys, but no, not for Pat. Not for the Packers. The Packer Podcast. Check out Packers Therapy. I'm telling you, Chris and Dave are back. They took a hiatus, but they're back. They are the old...
We like copy them. They took a hiatus, then we took a hiatus.
I mean, they are so good at what they do. Here's the thing. Like, they're as homerish as we are. They are Packer fans. There's no doubt about it. But listen to their latest podcast. Because they talk about a lot of the same things we talk about, but it's more interesting and better reasoned and more intelligent and... Those guys are so good. They talk about the Clay Matthews case. It's just wonderful. So well done. It's so smart, and they're so on top of it all. Like, they're so good. It's everything I wish I could be. Like, they're so good. But I get all pissed. I get all emotional. Like, they're just great. I wanted to give a shout out. Packers.
Yeah, they're like the NPR version of the Packers.
We're like
the wannabe Howard Stern version.
TMZ.
Yeah, we're the TMZ version.
You know what I'm talking about? Wayne's World Breakfast.
Yeah, Wayne's World.
We're somewhere between Wayne's World, TMZ, and Howard
Wayne's
Stern.
Wayne's World with a budget
at this point.
I mean, those are the mysterious ones, I guess.
And the other thing you gotta talk about is because it happened earlier this afternoon, and we're nothing if not on the pulse of everything going on in the Packers fun sphere, Twitter sphere, whatever. Rob Demovsky puts Jimmy Graham on blast for not talking to the media.
Rob's getting big time. Rob is getting big time.
I mean, he's so big time, he's like, I'm going to go on TV right now.
You know what? Actually, he is a TV star.
Is he really?
Like, when I saw him before the game on ESPN at Lambeau, I was like, holy crap, this man is looking good.
He's done it.
He's like made for television.
I'll tell you what. This one clearly was an effort. So Rob put out this tweet. And of course it has this extended link crap that you got to go to ESPN.com. So as a service to Packer fans everywhere, I just, you know, made a screenshot of it. Whatever.
Well, why don't you do that with your subscription to Bobby Goodman?
I probably should. It's right here.
Page of repost.
Yeah.
What if you just reposted Bobby Goodman's blog? Why didn't I think of that before?
All right, stop. We're getting off on our side.
So Rob puts
Jimmy Graham on blast for he hasn't talked to the media since July 28th. I don't know if you know this, but it is September 19th.
Wow.
That's a long time.
How much fun. How much in fines is that?
It was $10,000 a week during the regular season.
Ooh.
And, but what about training camp, though?
I was going to say, it's not, training camp doesn't help. And it's not from the team, it's from the NFL.
Yeah, first of all,
the NFL learned that.
Part of the CBA, the union signs off on, doesn't start until the team starts. So week one, you got to
right now,
start with 20
grand in the hole.
We're inquiring of, well, yeah, I know you don't keep the account telling Rob that he's not going to talk to them as talking to them, but, so Rob puts this up there on Twitter, and then Jimmy Graham comes back to him and says something akin to,
I didn't
you're
going to
tag me, drop a pair, and, like, if you're going to talk about me, drop a pair and tag me.
Oh.
And everybody, and this is the thing. I didn't see that part. I saw the tweet you had, but I didn't see the Jimmy Graham.
Here's the question, though.
He has every right to say, yo, this guy's not talking to me. And
so he should add him.
He should add him. Rob's response was, our mechanism of
time you broke your leg, right? It's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to ask questions. I mean, you look at the way those questions are, not to get political, but that is the top of the game, right? As far as, like, asking questions and crafting answers. You know, trying to get answers in public is very difficult. Politics aside. And, you know, the Badger Z-Layer, the Packer press room is miles away from that. They're gonna do it, right? They'll never ask the first question. It'd be like,
Give the Helen Thomas to the Packers.
No, it's like, God bless them. I mean, I'll tell you, there's no worse day to be in that room than a day when Bill isn't there. Because no one knows who the hell is going to ask the first question, and no one does it. Like, everyone pretends like, oh, I'm still set to go. Even though we've been sitting here for like 20 minutes and asked, oh, I'm not ready to go. Sure you are. Of course you're not. Is someone going to ask a question? Like, it's that's why I love Bill. Bill just goes, you know, Mike, what is the status for Aaron Jones this week? And they're like, oh, you're off to the races. Like, without Bill, nothing happens. It is dead air for a good minute to get someone else.
It was funny. I remember the first time the Packers shareholder meeting, first time we got credentials, and I'm with you in the press room. We're actually in the press room.
I've done that before.
For the first time ever, as Chief Head TV, right? It was like 2008, 9, I don't know, somewhere in there. And I remember, like, I did not ask any questions. Because why? Just shut up, I guess. Don't keep yourself. But you, yeah, I'm self-aware enough to realize, just be quiet. You're lucky you're here. Aaron Hutch is already going to change his mind.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, you're literally, like, ready. He's ready to kick us out at any moment, God love him. And I remember looking at you, and I don't remember what the question was, but I just could not believe the balls that it, like, I was like, I couldn't believe you were actually asking Ben Thompson, like, a question. And, like, just the look was daggering. Like, you know, you could feel, like,
everyone going, you know what? Daniel is negligible.
Yeah, who is this person? Why are they asking questions, and how are they letting us?
I don't know. There's those moments in the press room where all of a sudden somebody is, like, credentialed that maybe you weren't expecting to work from another outlet, or he just got hired at an outlet. And they ask a question that is so unlike the the rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's going to ask that kind of question. Oh, he's going to ask this question. Like, he's going to go there. Like, you know everyone's rambling. And then all of a sudden, there's a new person in the room.
Yeah.
And they ask, well, how come you got fly protect, brother? And Mike, you're not supposed to ask team questions, all this stuff. And Mike just gives you shit. Like, and he's all flushed. And he's like, it's pizza. He goes, mixing it up.
No, it actually changes it. And I know you're at the end, but that goes to the bubble. Is, you know, there is the bubble inside the bubble is like when you get your name. Like,
oh, God.
When Mike says your name, or you says your name, or Aaron says your name, it's literally like there is a little chalkboard in Wes Hodgkinson's office. And where he goes, oh, he said that name, and then you track over time. It's like fingerprint check. Who got name checked the most?
I got name checked once ever. But Mike said it like the first thing he said. Which is, I gotta admit, felt pretty good. Felt pretty good that he knew who I was.
Well, I just on an unofficial, well, me watching press conferences, I feel like if you look in Mac, Rob, and Jason,